Thank you, Lord, for the new hope, setting a new precedence and direction for your church, and calling out for those who want to be a part of what you are doing in restoring the early church. Thank you for your guidance and encouragement. Amen. Well, this is interesting. I came into prayer and I pulled 3 Rhema cards, and one of them was Abraham. And I thought, well, that's nice. Thanks for praying for me, Abraham. Boy, am I shallow or what? But I felt a check in my spirit about moving on from that. I felt like, well, now, wait a minute. What if this Rhema card is an invitation to speak with Abraham? Because obviously, the Lord gave me the card for a reason. And I've been kind of flippant and light and shallow going by these cards with the saints on them. And now I'm really taking them seriously. So I stopped what I was doing and I began to meditate. And I thought, you know, I would like to thank Father Abraham for the example that he gave. So I began writing to him the same way that I would write to the Lord. And after a few moments, he began speaking to me. So that's how this conversation took place. And then later on, Jesus came in and verified what had happened. So I began, Father Abraham, thank you for your prayers for us. Thank you for giving us the example to live, even willing to give up your son. This has been a steady lesson to me all my Christian life. Thank you. What marvelous faith you must have. Please share that with me and pray for all of us to have your faith, especially the family groups. And it's interesting because for several days, I've been thinking about Abraham and Mount Moriah and the sacrifice and Sarah not being pregnant. I've been thinking about that for days. So it was interesting that when I got the Abraham card, I began speaking to him. It wasn't long. I saw him at my right hand smiling. He began, "So finally you recognized me after all these years, Claire." Yes, I know the expression well. Better late than never. That's exactly what I was thinking. Tell me, please, how can you encourage interaction with the cloud if you yourself do not practice it? Never mind. I hear your answer, and I'm just very happy you picked up on the invitation. Thank you, Father Abraham. Thank you. What was it like standing near the ocean and seeing the stars and the sky and the grains of sand on the seashore, knowing that thus would be your descendants? And that comes from Genesis 22. I will surely bless you and will multiply your descendants like the stars in the sky and the sand of the seashore. Abraham answered me, beyond my comprehension. Yet somehow I knew Yahweh does exactly what he says he will do. And that is what I pondered in those moments, the enormity of his faithfulness and incomprehensibleness. I once remarked to him in those moments, "Yes, yes, Lord, I know you will do as you say, yet it remains a marvel to me." Those too were hard times for me, Claire, very uncertain times. The monotony of days and seasons passing by, and still no child of promise. Don't be too hard on Sarah. Every day of her life was a painful reminder that she was barren. Every day I cried inside that we had no son. And yet Yahweh insisted, "I will surely bless you, and I will multiply your descendants like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore." Genesis 22:18. And I knew this was true, but I wondered, is this a spiritual sonship or a true son of my loins? And of course he revealed it was from my seed, the seed given me that would bring forth my son. Yet I could never foresee the enormity of what he would do through Yeshua, and therefore my sons and daughters rub the Spirit through faith as well. How wonderful is our God, Claire! And truly, you are not just grafted in from your Gentile heritage. You have a very strong heritage as a Jew, at least 60%. This will not be evident by any genealogy search, which is still quite primitive and short on the knowledge of people groups and migration. Just understand it is no mere coincidence that your mother's parents moved to Chicago, a huge Jewish community, and were factory owners, and you lived among the Jewish descendants. Your mother could never acknowledge that and knew very little until heaven. Your father's heritage was also very strong in this respect. But what is most important is that you belong to him with your whole heart and soul, and you are a true descendant of Abraham. You truly are my daughter. Oh, I'm so fascinated with all of this. I would love to see a movie of my ancestry. And you would recognize many things of your ancestry that are present-day personality traits. There are innumerable characteristics in your being that date back to the time of the kings, and especially Yeshua. You will on that day be quite amazed with your ancestry and will even laugh at the peculiar things you have in common today with your ancestors. My daughter, what I love about you is your unrelenting search for the truth, even the whole truth, and how much you long to understand the deep things of Yahweh. And because of this hunger, you shall be satisfied. But understand, these days you live in, you are calling your brothers and sisters back to the faith and the peculiar charism of your faith, desiring intimacy with the Almighty. This is another mark of predestination and a calling card to your tribe. This was a striking quality of the tribe of Yehuda or Judah. But I feel so insignificant and flawed. But you cannot backpedal or slip out of this framework in your DNA. It is there, forever having an effect upon your future. With the exception of the Lord's transforming seed through Yeshua when you receive the sacred mystery, the body and blood in communion. Go forward with confidence, knowing you are indeed connected too, not only by graft but also by bloodline, but most of all, for you and all heart dwellers, by faith. I bless you all, dear heart dwellers, for your faith is a sweet-smelling sacrifice to the Father. And then Jesus began to speak to me, Claire, do not be surprised at this visitation, for truly I want my church united once and for all. The souls chosen to endure on this channel are those who are endowed with mystical gifts and union with me. There is no reason whatsoever for any of you to feel separate from heaven. The only reason would be fear of hearing familiar spirits and not saints. But you have already passed that hurdle with me, and you apply the same principles to the spirit realm visitors. Your greatest entrapment will come from neediness and pride, needing to feel good about yourself, needing to be validated, but most of all, needing to put others down. You have been taught well on these principles, so you should know better. If you feel puffed up or vainglorious, that's the time to suspect something unclean is testing you. If you feel peace and leave the conversation ready to move forward with my plans for your life, that is a good sign. It is utter foolishness for you to cast off communication with heaven because Satan has familiar spirits that imitate angels. This is so foolish. He has concocted this familiar spirit business to cause such fear that you will not communicate with the angels and saints. He has a counterfeit for everything, my people, and you must be seasoned enough to discernment, to be able to plunge right into a conversation in complete confidence that it is me or my servant you are speaking with. Laziness is the main reason, next to fear, that people avoid going deeper in discernment and carrying on a relationship with saints and angels. And Satan's suggestions that you will be tricked are easy to overcome once you're established in discernment. Oh, and I wanted to share with you, right around the time of my conversion, when I left the New Age, I shunned the Catholic Church, thinking the statues and saints and angels were all just familiar spirits, you know, because here I am coming out of the New Age. But it was not until I bottomed out on the superficial teachings and the ways of life of the popular cultural churches that I was willing to consider that I might be wrong. And once I met Mary, Jesus' mother, that all ended. I was now hungry for these holy relationships that would help me move away from my sins and faults into a truly detached way of life. Jesus continued, "My children, I am bringing this up to you because I want to enrich you with everything I have given the church and the ways in which these graces have been handled through my church. Though my church has become worldly and political, nothing like what I created, she has held on to many of the sacraments, which are helps to holiness, and protected their essence. Yet weak men have used them to manipulate people into giving absurd amounts of money for them. These and other deeply corrupted practices have given scandal and caused many to leave the good part of the church. So now it is my intention to restore what is right and pull it away from what is wrong and corrupt. I am rebuilding my church, choosing new apostles, appointing new shepherds, and all of them must be heart dwellers. They cannot be legalists, Pharisees, and doctrine dwellers. They must first love me with all their hearts, and then love their brothers as themselves. I did not put my disciples through 6 years of costly university training, which in the end makes them worldly. No, I went out to the poor on the highways and byways and ministered healing and right doctrine, the doctrine of unconditional love, meekness, service, compassion, and at the same time demonstrating the power of God through healings and deliverances. I did not arrive in a Mercedes-Benz or a princely Arabian horse, but on the foal of a donkey. How much clearer could I be in designating the character of my apostles? So now I am calling out to you. If you have been called to ministry, there is a place for you. But first you must be solid in your love for me and your brother, and well seasoned in discernment and the ways of Satan. Think on these things, my beloved ones. Think, pray, and consider where you might fit in with my plans for the resurrection of my church. I am with you in this, standing by to anoint you with fresh graces to move forward."